runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 82 with guest Clint Huffman, recorded Thursday, October 23rd, 2008. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com.
You're listening to Run As Radio. I'm your host, Richard Campbell. With me, as always, my co-host, Greg Hughes.
Hi, everyone. How are you, Richard?
I am well, sir. I am in Barcelona, if all has gone well. Don't you love the time shift of radio?
That's cool. That's quite a coincidence. I think I'm in Barcelona, too.
Yeah, funny how that works, actually.
Yeah.
And being Wednesday, we should be in the middle of viewing Speaker Idol and have partied for several nights in a row. We should be wrecks, actually.
Yeah, it should be. This is about the time that we should be completely exhausted.
And two more days to go.
A couple more days to go, right, exactly.
Tech Ed is a marathon, no two ways about it. Pace yourselves.
Looking forward to it, though. It's going to be quite a good show.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions, comments, want to ask for a particular show, I know we've been on a perfmon bent lately, but it's a good thing. We're learning lots of stuff. Send us an email, info@runasradio.com. All right, Greg, let's introduce our guest. Clint Huffman joined Microsoft in 1999, supporting web technologies, Microsoft load testing tools, and later worked as a testing consultant helping people with load testing at the Microsoft Services Labs. There, he found a passion for solving Windows performance issues. In 2006, he joined Microsoft Premier Field Engineering to take on BizTalk performance issues, only to find that most issues could be diagnosed by analyzing operating system resources. Some may say that performance analysis of Windows is more of an art than a science. Well, Clint strives to make it as much of a science as possible and to bring it to the masses. Clint is probably best known for his performance analysis of logs tool, PAL tool, which simplifies the analysis of performance monitoring logs. He is the author of many recent BizTalk performance guides on MSDN and recently spoke at TechEd 2008 on BizTalk performance analysis. Welcome, Clint.
Hey, Clint.
Hey, glad to be here.
So you are part of a cluster of folks we've just been talking to recently. Going back, I blame Stephen Choi, actually.
Yeah, I kind of spawned it all.
It really did. Because as soon as we tipped into PFE, there was suddenly this realization of, wow, you know, just as I'd always thought, there's a lot to performance monitor. I think most people don't understand it. There's got to be better ways. And when we started talking to Stephen about it, he tipped us to PAL, which led to you, and also Shane Creamer's stuff around the boot camp for performance monitor. It's just I'm really excited because I'm learning a ton.
Yeah, it turns out there's this secret world of performance monitoring and performance metrics that nobody knew about that we're just trying to bring to light.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the field all the time, and so we're under a lot of pressure to solve these issues very quickly. So we've got to develop our own tools and our own techniques in order to really solve these things, real-world stuff. That's why we've got this stuff now.
And, I mean, PerfMon, everything's there. It's like your own little internet. Everything you want to find is in there. You just don't know where it is.
I've heard you say that many times, and that's very true. That's what's frustrated me so all these years, is that we have all this fantastic information. You know, and there's people out there that know what those counters mean and what they understand, you know, what they do, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting that kind of mentality. They get their brain, basically, in the way they analyze things, and then finally get it onto some kind of formula, you know, and then actually be able to, analyze that in a scientific manner. So, like I said, most people, like I was saying earlier, most people would say performance analysis is more of an art than a science. Well, while that's true, but there's usually reasons for that. Usually they say that because, well, there's a lot of factors involved that they may be considering. And since there's so many different factors that they have to consider, it's got to be an art because there's so many variables in this whole equation.
Sure.
But if you actually wrote down the equation, then you might have something to go by, at least for some guidance.
Well, it is certainly math. I think the art part of this is the knack of diagnostics, of being able to look at all of those values and get a sense of what's actually happening in the machine.
True.
And I do find there are people who do that very easily, that they have that diagnostic knack of they can put themselves in the context of the machine saying, with this much memory consumed. You know, the great battle is, I do this with load testing all the time for websites, where suddenly we double up the load demand onto the website, but the website load increase only goes up about 20%. And so folks go, wow, we've hit saturation point. Even though we doubled the number of connections, it hasn't gone up that much. And I've got that instinct that goes, nah, I think the test machines are saturated. And you go and look, you go, yeah, actually the thing's generating the load can't generate any more load. Just because you told it to double it up doesn't mean it delivered.
Right, exactly. And, your response times probably went up as well.
Well, sure, but it's and interesting, you know, those kinds of graphs where you see, yeah, as I increase load, the times increase, but then eventually it hits saturation and they start to decrease again before the whole thing fails.
Right, diminishing returns, yes.
Yeah, it's a funny, that's where I think there's really an art element to it, that sometimes this stuff is not intuitive. It's counterintuitive to what you would think would happen, and you've got to really find out what's the narrowest point in the pipe now. Where are we actually strangled?
And we have some good indicators of that, and that's what Shane Creamer's Vital Signs was all about as far as his workshop and key core OS performance counters and their thresholds. But in order to understand those, of course, you have to know a little bit of Windows architecture, and of course, not everybody wants to learn that.
Yeah, and I do think that's the key part of this. It's two things. What is what to measure and what does that mean? But then you get into this whole thresholding element of what's a good number? You know, when is something too busy? And that is not always obvious. But I guess this is where PAL comes into play, right?
Right. I started teaching the Vital Signs workshop with Shane, which was, you know, teaching performance analysis of performance counters. And people would leave that workshop and say, you know what, that was the best workshop I've ever had, but I just realized there's like about 100 counters I need to be looking at to really understand a performance monitor log and understand a machine
right. And
understand why it's slow. You know, I've got a day job. I'm managing hundreds of servers. I can't do that on a regular basis. So I realized, you know what, there's got to be some kind of automation here or some kind of way of making it a little easier. Furthermore, I was getting known for doing performance analysis, and customers started sending me about 10 performance monitor logs and say, hey, can you analyze those by this afternoon? And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Do you realize how much work is involved in that, you know, looking at all these things properly? So then I started teaching the VB script workshop, which is also another great workshop we deliver. And I thought, you know what? I'm teaching VB scripting. I'm teaching performance analysis of logs. So why don't I put the two together? And that's when PAL started to come out.
What'd you write it in, just out of curiosity?
Well, I wrote it in VB script.
Nice.
So the PAL is actually about a 6,000 line VB script. It's pretty big. it's the language I know best, and so that's why I wrote it in that.
I can relate to that. A company that I worked at, we put together a security software that did bad behavior fraud analysis on web server logs, and it's about a 15,000 line Perl program. You know, it's compiled, but it started out as a Perl script.
Wow. Yeah, they get pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm horrified. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you use the tools that do the job well.
I guess, the proof's in the pudding. The thing works. It's just VB script. And, Clint, walk us through. How does this thing work?
Okay. So right now it's evolved. So now it has a full user interface, which is actually VB.net user interface. But really, the user interface is just a glorified batch file creator for the script.
Beautiful.
Underneath. So, you download the tool from www.codeplex.com/PAL, and you go there and download it. It's free and open source. That was one of my other criteria, too, because Microsoft, we produce some great tools, and I'm seeing these tools. I'm like, great, this is awesome. When can I use it in front of a customer? I'm like, oh, it's actually for our internal use only for now. I'm like, oh, man, you got to be kidding me. So that's why I started writing something open source and free. But you download it from there, and then you got to install it with the MSI installer and stuff, and then you'll be presented with a kind of user interface here. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you guys in front of this, but...
Yeah, radio.
It's kind of radio, yeah. So I'll just kind of, like, talk about it, I guess. So you're presented with basically a wizard. Is the best kind of format I figured that would be good for this, because all the arguments going to the script get pretty big, and I wanted to make it very easy. The whole idea here is that you basically give it a performance monitor log, the path to the log file, Then you specify what kind of machine was it. Was it Active Directory? Was it BizTalk, Exchange, IIS, MOS, SQL? You know, take your pick of what kind of machine it is. Okay. Once you've established that, then you have to decide which questions to answer on that particular item. So the idea about other performance tools that I've encountered in the past, some like the Server Performance Advisor tool, which is a great tool, by the way, but a lot of these tools didn't take into consideration information about the server that they couldn't get anywhere else. For example, is the system 64-bit or 32-bit? Is it how much physical memory does it have? Are you using the 3GB switch? All of those have an effect on the system as a whole as far as performance. And so by having those questions being asked, and then later using those questions that you were asked as variables in the thresholds is really what gives us a lot of power.
Right. It's really that combination of knowing the infrastructure of the machine or the configuration of the machine combined with these variables or the load levels that really gives you the insight.
Right. And what's even better about this, now, yes, I could have gotten some of this information from the machine itself using WMI and various other things, but there's stuff like RAID type that, you know, I might not be able to get from the machine.
Right.
You know, only the stand administrator may be able to tell me that. And we're actually considering writing a performance storage performance threshold where we actually define the RAID types and the LUNs and then doing, based on with that information, using the performance counters to analyze the counters in a better light. Because looking at the counter straight up without that knowledge is not going to be helpful. But having that ahead of time really helps.
Now, maybe a bit of a stretch. Am I able to take, say, change the RAID type or flip some of those variable switches to do some estimation of, well, what if I did change this? Is that a useful way to use PAL to figure out what might happen if I do change a configuration? Or is that not a valid way to use it?
Oh, like a what-if type thing?
Right.
No, it wasn't really designed for that, per se. It was really kind of designed to tell you when you're breaking a threshold.
Gotcha.
Based on your current configuration. But that's certainly something to consider, and I've also been approached about doing green computing with PAL, which is a new concept for me. Basically telling people where they have excess and resources, kind of the inverse.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Well, yeah, in the green computing side of things, I like this idea of starting to break down to watts per transaction, like. I think the one set of instrumentation that we don't have right now is how much power is the machine currently consuming? It could be a perfmon metric, but we don't have it yet. But I think once you have that, you could get into that kind of detail. And, you know, because people are getting really serious about, I think there's two forces going on in that whole greening data center thing. One is we've now got a processor density per use so high, we almost can't feed power to enough power and cooling to the rack. It's killing us. And then you also get into this, you know, how do we be more efficient? Like, if I could actually go back to developers and say, like, you can work on your, I want you to help develop code that consumes fewer watts per transaction. That's it's an interesting angle.
You can sure do some correlation. I mean, even if it was separate information about power consumed over time and you did some baselines for different machines that you have, I guess you could at least correlate information and do some of that. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
There's no way to get, you know, wattage and stuff like that into perfmon right now, right? Is there?
No, there's nothing in there yet.
If you know how fast, if you know what a 100% CPU or a 90% CPU uses in terms of wattage, I guess you could infer that. Maybe you could do some calculations, though.
Yeah, but there's so many other factors when you get into, you know, the spinning drives and the cooling fans. And I'd really like to see, you know, the only common point here is actually instrumenting the power supply. But I think we're a little off track. I'd love to instrument a power supply, but I think I'm the only one.
Well, that is a serious topic, of course, and we're definitely looking into that. So that's definitely something. And that's another reason why a lot of people are going into virtualization, which I do want to – there is one thing I want to talk about as far as virtualization and analyzing performance in Hyper-V before we're done with this talk. So I'll swing around and come back around to that.
Sure.
Okay, so I mentioned you, but the whole idea was to make this really simple with the analysis. So I wanted to basically ask you for the perfmon log, which is easy enough to do, when you give me the path to it, and then answer a few questions about the server. How many processors does that 3GB switch turn on, and things of that nature. So answer those questions for me so I can do a better analysis on the log. The other things are pretty much optional at that point. The analysis interval is, you know, how do we want to break this thing down into what kind of time slices? And this isn't the data gathering time slices, you know, because you can gather a log at a certain rate. This is how you want to break up the log. So, like, if you, by default, it's set to auto, which is to break up the log into 30 separate chunks, 30 separate time slices, and then we analyze each individual time slice at a time. So the reason we did it this way is because some of these logs can be humongous, and we really can't analyze every single data point in that case. It would just take too long for us to process all that. So by breaking it down into these time slices, we can actually analyze much faster and still be relatively accurate because we're still looking at minimum values, average values, and maximum values, and even trend values in each of these time slices.
Right. So you're going to see what's your minimum and your maximum for any given counter for like a 1 hour if your time slice is 1 hour or 2 hours, as opposed to maybe 24 hours. Is that right?
Yeah, it could be a variable, depending on how long the log was right. taken for. And yeah, if there was like a spike in disk usage where you went up to like 1 second I/O response times per second, you know, we'll catch that because the maximum value hit that.
Right.
Yeah, and of course, the maximum value is the one that matters. That's the point at which the machine was likely most in trouble, or the minimum value, right out of memory or totally burying the processor.
Correct, correct. And so what it is PAL has different weights that it has for those particular metrics. For example, like a CPU spike, high, would not be considered very, very, would be like more like a warning than a critical. But an average CPU for the entire time slice would be considered critical just because it's the average value versus the maximum.
That makes sense to me. I find processors bang against 100% all the time, and that's not a big deal. It's just when they're pinned there for an hour that it's bad.
Exactly. So it depends on the scenario, and certainly you can adjust that.
You can adjust the weights?
Yes, that's the other thing. So in the PAL tool, so the other thing I was a little frustrated with, well, not really frustrated, but I really wanted to have in a performance analysis tool is that the thresholds in many of the products that we have really were not cutting the mustard when it came down to analyzing performance. They really had like, okay, if this counter value was greater than 5,000, then alert. You know, and that don't cut it today. What it is PAL, actually, every one of the thresholds are actually code. So that's kind of the beauty of the reason why I went with VBScript in the first place was because there's a cool command in VBScript called .execute, which allows you to bring in text, like a string of text,
right,
and then execute that as code during runtime.
So you're essentially able to store an expression of how you would evaluate that combination of counters or that metric, and just execute it in line.
Right. So what it is PAL is actually writing the code for the threshold, at least finishing it up, and then executing it and say, okay, did we have a Boolean value of yes or no on breaking a threshold?
That's cool. It's clever.
Yeah, this makes it extremely flexible because now, like for example, like calculating like non-page pooled and pooled page bytes of kernel memory, that's very difficult if you ever taken the course because you have to look up how much physical memory is on the box, if you're using 32-bit or 64-bit, 3GB, PAE, all that stuff changes the maximum values of those pool sizes.
Right.
So I just put that in the one big, you know, little DB, well, not really, put it in a threshold code, which is actually quite long, and then executing that, and then it's done. It does it for me.
That's cool. And that really does take it up a notch, because that's hard to do by hand. To sort of bring all of those factors in. You end up writing it on a piece of paper, sort of scratching it, okay, that's a bad number, or that's a good number.
Oh, yeah, this has saved me so much of my own time. Because, you know, first you got to calculate it, what it is, and then you got to see if it's within 60% of that value or within 80% of that value.
Right.
Right. The real value of tools like this is instead of spending all that time doing the heavy lifting and kind of the grunt work, you can do that for you. Now your well-paid or well-trained technicians and the people that have to solve problems can actually, instead of spending time figuring out what the problems are, they can actually spend their time solving it, right?
Exactly. That's the whole idea. This is again, is not a replacement for traditional performance analysis, and I keep telling everybody that. Although people still use it without any knowledge, which is a little scary sometimes, but it is strictly a time saver to help you quickly go into it. And then the whole idea is that once you identify, oh, there might be a problem with disk, you know, or disk response times on PAL showing here, mm-hmm. then you go into the perfmon log itself to see, okay, is this really true or not? That's what you're supposed to do, at least.
Right.
Gotcha.
Most people now are just saying, hey, give me the PAL report.
But, yeah, and, you know, an interesting angle on this is diagnostics is only step one. What you do about it is another thing entirely. And then hopefully after you've done whatever efforts you've done, you're reanalyzing to see, did I actually make a difference?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because that's another feature of PAL. So I've written tons of performance analysis documentation up on MSDN and TechNet and blogs. You know, and what I found is that I'll give this information to my customers, say, hey, look, read this information, and this will solve your problem. And I found out they don't read it. You know, and
exactly.
I got to thinking about it. It's like taking your car to a mechanic and saying, you know what, my car's broke. Can you fix it? And the mechanic looking at you and say, well, here's a huge manual, and you can fix it yourself by reading the manual.
Yeah, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
Not really
yeah.
what they were asking for, right?
Exactly. So when I wrote the PAL tool, all of the analyses that it does, I wanted them written in a knowledge-based form look and feel. So it says, here's what we're looking at. Here's why we're analyzing this particular counter. And here is, if you do run into these thresholds, here's remedies on how to fix this or next steps on how to troubleshoot this. So it's like context-sensitive mm-hmm. information. You know, it's like telling you, oh yeah, your carburetor needs to be changed here, you know, and here's how to do it, or I can do it for you, right? So
yeah, and that's the reality here is, you know, how much do people want to learn? How much do they need to know? And what does it take to actually? For the most part, people just want these problems to go away. They're not all that interested in exactly how to solve them. Just if there was a big red button that said this problem goes away, they'd push the button and be happy.
Right. Exactly.
The easy button. Right. Exactly. Yeah. The expensive time spent on trying to figure out how to figure out the problem is probably what people are trying to avoid. Just save me some time here so I can spend it there.
Yeah. Most of the time, sometimes we'll have like a huge number of people on site trying to solve this huge political performance issue, and it ends up being something really small, you know, and, right. you know, they spent all this money trying to figure out, you know, why is it slow?
But I also find people buying big chunks of equipment, nothing worse than swapping out a bunch of servers because the old servers are just buried and it performs no better on the new one.
Right.
All right. Yeah. I recently had a diagnostic case where it was exactly the opposite. They were convinced that the database was killing them, that it was painfully slow. They bought a fancy new database server, set the whole thing up, switched over to it, and everything was slower.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually having a clear picture of what the real problem is far harder than we think.
Right.
And that's why having these reports are so much nicer, because now we're basing things off evidence. At least an educated guess, at least, versus, intuition.
Well, and also, I love the third-partiness of this. A lot of these thresholds have been set by experts, so I like the fact that PAL will give me a sense of confidence that my servers are running within reasonable thresholds right now, or that the one that I think is in trouble, it agrees, is also in trouble.
Right. And that's one thing I want to make a point as well. I'm glad you brought that up, too. Is that many of the threshold files, like Microsoft Active Directory, for example, was written by colleagues on my team, like Kip Gummenberg, Matt Reynolds was involved with that, and all the Exchange ones are extremely popular, and Mike Legacy in Microsoft support is a big, he owns those contents. So what it is people, I've actually got people who own the contents of each of these different threshold files.
Right.
They're the masters of their field. I can't be master of all, right? It's impossible. You know, so I basically employ these guys and or gals, depending on who's involved with it. They own it, and now their name's on the line. You know, and they put some great stuff together for thresholds.
Yeah, and
that's really cool.
Brilliant. I mean, I've read Michael Legacy's blog. He is the Exchange performance god.
he'll be happy to hear that. Oh, and David Plus just took over the SQL Server stuff. Originally it was written by Kartik Timone, but David Plus just took it over. So, and he's awesome at SQL performance analysis.
Great. Where does PowerShell fit into all this?
Oh, yeah. So I was in Montreal about 2 weeks ago, and they gave an introductory course to PowerShell. So I'm like, cool, I've been wanting to learn about this. And the guy they had teaching us was Bruce Payette.
Oh, yeah.
Who I later found was the dev lead of PowerShell. And I'm like, how the heck did they get this guy out here?
That's cool.
Come to find out, he's from Montreal, so I think he had a vested interest in being there, of course. But it was great. I mean, I learned more in that 1 hour than I ever did probably in any other class other than vital signs. So, and now I'm like hardcore PowerShell all the way, and I can do everything. And while I've done an analysis into it and played with it a little bit, I can do everything in native PowerShell now. Because right now, PAL requires Microsoft Log Parser, which is a fantastic tool, by the way. Microsoft Log Parser, which is free and everything like that. But it also requires Office Web Components 11, which is Office 2003,
right.
You know, web components. Now, granted, they're free, and they create charts for me for free. They're quite old. So so now I'm going to do everything in PowerShell this time around.
So we will see a new version at some point here, all PowerShell.
Yes. Version 2.0, which I'll try to get out probably, I don't know, maybe March of next year or so. I want to do it in pure PowerShell. I've already written some .NET classes that do charting for me, so I've got the charting part covered, and I've already got some proof of concept stuff working already.
Excellent. So, I mean, it sort of reduces the dependencies for PAL to actually be all in PowerShell and using more .NET resources.
Correct.
So what about Hyper-V?
Oh, yeah. So the dependencies of PAL are free, by the way. The log parser is free, Office Web Components. It's just a pain to have to install all of those.
Yeah.
You
got to get all those bits in. You got to get them configured right. It's just more moving parts to making the whole thing work.
Right. So, Hyper-V. So one of the things I wanted to mention on this call is that one thing many people don't know about is in Hyper-V is processor analysis was quite tricky. I was actually on site with the BizTalk product team for a month, and we did a whole bunch of analysis. So long story short, we loaded up a whole bunch of BizTalk virtual machines on a physical box, and we drove them up to 100% CPU. So we had four virtual processors at 100% CPU. So then I look at I bring up Task Manager up on the physical host, the physical machine operating system, bring up Task Manager, and everything's running about 1 to 2% CPU.
Wow. That's wacky.
Yeah. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, either Hyper-V is the most efficient thing in the world for CPU consumption, or I'm doing something wrong. So I talked to Tony Vall, who is the dev performance lead in Hyper-V. And he kind of laughed and chuckled at us. He's like, well, the physical machine is not a physical machine anymore. As far as the host, it's actually called the root partition, and it's just another virtual machine.
Right.
And I'm like, what? Hmm. And he's like, yeah, it's just another virtual machine. I'm like, okay, so they're not being ran from the operating system. He's like, no. Hyper-V is in the kernel. And all these machines, including the host, are running as a virtual computer off of that.
So the 1% you were seeing was actually the CPU being consumed by the host partition or the root partition.
Correct. Only that machine. Exactly.
Right.
Not all the machines as a whole. So you're not actually looking at the physical processors when you bring up Task Manager.
Once you're running Hyper-V, because it goes into that, what do they call it, ring minus one mode where Hyper-V is above any of the visible processes.
Yes.
And so then you just have everything's a partition.
And so in order to see the physical processors, you actually have to look at the hypervisor counters.
Ah, because now it's hypervisor everywhere.
Yeah. So if you go to on the host machine, you bring up the hypervisor counters. There's one called, percent total runtime. And that's the one that you want to look at.
Now, would you look at that in the context of the host partition, the root partition?
Yes, yes. So you bring a performance monitor on the host machine, the root partition machine, bring it up there, and then there'll be a hypervisor, Hyper-V processor. I think it's Hyper-V logical processor.
I look at your blog, actually. Hypervisor logical processor percentage total runtime.
Yes. So you want to look at that.
And that's the number that would actually show you how the processors are consumed overall.
Yes, that's the physical processors and their consumption, yes.
Even though it says logical processor. I love that.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You have logical processors, virtual processors, and some other type of processors. So it's really confusing as to what are you talking about, you know? So then you have sockets,
yeah,
you know, and, you know, so yeah, it gets very confusing.
But, you know, this is the issue that we run into with PerfMon in general is, again, all the facts are there. We just have to sort them out, knowing what each one of these counters actually means in a given configuration. I mean, the only time that percentage processor time on a machine means nothing is when you have Hyper-V running. So unless you account for Hyper-V, you don't know what that counter actually means.
Yeah. By the way, Powell now has a Hyper-V threshold file in it in the latest builds.
Excellent. So now we can start actually instrumenting Hyper-V in a rational way. But I got to think that all your other counter sets would want to, or all of your other files would now want to say, hey, am I running in Hyper-V? Because some of these measurements will be different.
Right. Well, I kind of assume you are, but if you pick the Hyper-V threshold file, then I assume you have Hyper-V enabled.
Yes, but I'm thinking if I'm using the Exchange file, the measurements for Exchange would be different if it's running in Hyper-V or not.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
It just sounds like we have to add more. It's just an update to the algorithms. I mean, this is where your algorithm approach is so compelling, is that now that I can add this condition that says, hey, are we running in Hyper-V? Okay, measure the numbers this way versus measuring it that way.
Right. And they that's the other thing I've been trying to really encourage Mike Legassi to do is you know, because you want to measure some of the disk performance differently where the data store is at in Exchange than you would in like other drives. You know, and so one of the questions I was trying to have him do was create a question variable to say, you know, what drive letter is the data store on, or what drive letters? And then later on you can use that in your threshold to make it more strict on the performance analysis of that drive.
Right. Yeah, I think the whole storage subsystem is another issue because of the visibility into it, or lack of visibility into it.
Oh, another thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, too, is XPerf. Have you guys heard of it yet?
No.
Nope.
Okay, so XPerf is hands down the next generation performance analysis tool. It's written by the Windows Product Group. It's been under development for about 10 years now, and they now have a usable version of it now. This thing kicks butt. It's awesome. We can get detailed information about a context switch now.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So this thing is part of the Windows 2008 Server Performance Toolkit.
Okay.
So if you just do a search for Windows 2008 Server Performance Toolkit on the internet, you'll find it up on Microsoft. It's a free download. Problem is, it only works on Vista and Windows Server 2008.
Right.
So, sure.
But if you run this tool and have it gather data for, and, you know, if you're having a problem, you run it for the gathering time that you're having a problem, then have it then produce a report. You won't get a really easy to understand report. You still have to know Windows architecture. So it's kind of like back to PerfMon again, right?
Yeah.
We got all these great counters, you know, we don't know exactly what we're looking at, but it's great information. So that's the next thing we're going to try to start automating is XPerf and this tracing data that's using.
Yeah, I'm just poking through the Windows Performance Toolkit here. It looks like a very low level tracing ability into the machine.
Oh, extremely. And I mean, everybody's using it internally now for Vista and Windows Server 2008. It's just an incredible amount of information.
Awesome. Well, Clint, I think we're about out of time.
Wow, that was quick.
A half hour flies by when we're digging into something this cool. Thanks so much for coming onto the show.
Thanks, Clint.
Oh, thanks.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.